Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break. Presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Friday. Steve Sipple not with us this morning. He's probably still sleeping at this point. Jake Sorensen and Bill Bush with you. Hour 3, as always, sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO.
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. Did tell you guys I shot Sip a text late in the 6 o'clock hour. No response yet. I'm sure he's still in La La Land after a late night.
Keep us posted. Do you think he's safe, Jake?
I think he's safe. He was right.
Was Robin getting him back to the hotel?
Yeah, I don't think we had to worry about Sip making that drive himself. Robin, I trust to make that drive fine. So I am sure that Sip is still sleeping this morning after a very, very long night post-game at the stadium. So we'll hear from Sip on Tuesday, though, on the show. Show Monday. No show Monday for us. We back Tuesday. I've been watching the numbers in terms of people viewing. The first hour, people were still waking up. Now – everyone's here. People are awake, Bill. They're with us after the celebration of Nebraska's win 20-17 last night against Cincinnati. We'll take your text at 464-5685. Any questions you have?
Yeah, fire them in there.
Comments on the game. We have not mentioned a couple guys that I want to mention from last night, Bill. And I'll start first with special teams. Kyle Cunanan hits a 52-yarder in the first half.
Yes, impressive, wasn't it?
It was a good kick. That's certainly been not a gimme given for Nebraska kickers in the past. But after a nice kick by Cincinnati to give them the lead, I thought that was a very nice kick. We didn't see him. We did see him make one more field goal also in the game. But that was, for fans, a comforting sight to see a long kick made off the bat.
Absolutely. It ended up being a big kick also.
It did.
The big part of that is if you miss that, where the other team gets the football. That's always a big turnover with it. And so hitting that shot is a really big – and it came off his foot really well. So, like I said, you got to see a couple looks at it, but it obviously it was a great great kick and obviously well done by getting – again, what helps your team? Really good recruiting. And obviously he's a very, very good kicker. And at least – always judge a season as a whole, but what a great start.
Yes, Archie Wilson's been a lot of viral attention on him as the Aussie punter, his first ever game. Thought he had a pretty good game. He had 4 punts, 36.8 yards a kick, had 3 inside the 20, had 1 to get down to the 9, and I think in the second half that was important. I thought he seemed like he was comfortable, Bill. Did you see anything differently from him, from Archie Wilson?
No, not really. I mean, I always talked about this, always kind of odd, but his net was obviously not very high. That's because they were kicking daggers or slash pooches. His longest punt, I'm not sure. I didn't look at that stat. The one he kicked in the field, what the distance was on that and what that...
41 yards.
41.
Into so a slight breeze.
Yeah, and so that's also, like I said, if you end up that area. So sometimes your net will be real at the end of the season, if what your net is, because everybody's going to have opportunities in those same spots. But like I said, you always want to make sure that, you know, that no matter what happens, that ball does not go in the end zone. My target yard line was always the 8. And so to have that ability to try to keep that ball in bounds and to be able to do that. But they've created some long fields, which will always be a plus in that situation.
So Archie Wilson, good first game for him. Couple newcomers we had not seen yet besides practice. Dane Key gets a big touchdown on the fourth down play to make it 20-10. Since he bounces back right away to make a three-point game again. But Dane Key had a pretty solid game. Bill, his stats last night for Nebraska, he had 6 catches for 51 yards and the 1 touchdown. I thought he, again, nice addition for him. Isaiah Hunter also, 6 catches, 65 yards, and that 1 touchdown at the end of the first half on the fade route in the end zone. Those guys, I thought, looked solid in their first games.
Yes, they did. It's and the big thing was they just took the free access. They just took the gifts, and that was always a terminology. Some coordinators I'd work with, just keep taking the gifts, and they got a lot of gifts. But that was good play calling, and also there was no drop. So sometimes you can have that too. Well, it was an easy catch because it was a loose coverage, but there's no drops. Probably, I don't remember many dynamic plays after the ball was caught as far as a make you miss or something down the field. So I imagine that was something that will be that they have in their ability. But that's probably something they'll look for more to say what is it, you know, the yards after catch is always something you look, you know, big into. And there wasn't a lot of that yesterday. But also with the type of coverage you're playing against, there's going to be a lot of people around once the ball was caught and completed.
Yeah, a guy that got a couple yards after the catch a few times was Luke Lindenmeyer. He had a couple times he got it, and you know,
he absolutely did.
I thought he had a very, very solid game, keeping the play alive and getting, you know, 4 or 5 extra yards on two separate occasions. Bill,
100%.
So yeah, Lindenmeyer,
he was impressive, and that's what I'm talking about. Yards after catch. That's what he did. He got yards after catch, and down the sideline that one time, thinking he'd be out of bounds, he got about 8 extra yards.
He did.
That's a big amount.
We've not mentioned the name really much. A guy that was a huge part of the game, Emmett Johnson. Emmett Johnson has 25 carries, 108 yards. Receiving, he had 7 catches for 27 yards. And the question's been, Bill, is who's the backup running back? Well, Nebraska, Mekhi Nelson had 1 carry in the game. Isaiah Mosey had 1 carry. And then, you know, Junior and Bonner had 2 carries, not as a running back role. But so you didn't really see anybody besides Emmett. Emmett got almost all the totes last night.
Yeah, when you're in a game like that, it's not a lot of time to experiment.
Sure.
I mean, it's really not. You want to have your best players in there. And there was never a time either. I mean, if you watch that, I mean, Nebraska huddled almost exclusively. I don't know how many times they were going tempo, but the game was not a game. And the weather the way it was, it wasn't like, I'm exhausted. I got to get out of here. It wasn't that type of a game. And so it allowed him to be able to have those number of carries. And he also, like that same thing, he had yards after contact, Emmett did. He probably had, I bet there was probably 40 yards of that was after contact. And so those are things you're looking for, because sometimes it's like you just, you know, the offensive coordinator, they're it's not magic. And a lot of times you have to be able to get extra yards and punish and make you miss in space. And all these teams that have all these this magic stuff happen is like that. It's like, just watch them. They'll throw an 8-yard throw and it goes for 29. Or they'll throw and they'll have a run that all of a sudden he breaks one tackle. And all of a sudden the play that should have been maybe a 2-yard gain goes for 20. Those are the differences. That's when all of a sudden offensive coordinators look really brilliant. That's when they look brilliant. When they have players that can make those extra plays, like the term I always use, when the coaching's over. And you saw some of that. But where you saw that was with Emmett and with Lindenmeyer. That's where you saw it the most. I hope also like that was a wicked shot that Bonner took. Was there any report after the game?
Yeah, I don't have an update on that. I don't know if rules addressed that in post game, but I don't know. I don't have an update right now on Bonner. It was a wicked shot he took, though.
And that was another break also. They fumbled. But the ball went out of bounds.
Right.
And so, again, things went in Nebraska's way at that time, which is good. But it looked like his knee was extended when it got hit. So it might just be a hyperextension. I don't want to guess at all. But It was a he took a legitimate shot to his knee.
We have a pretty common question coming in that they want your response on, Bill, from Texas. I'll read Dan, because Dan is one of many asking the same question. We mentioned earlier in the show, Sorsby had a great game running the ball, 96 yards, and Cincinnati had over 200 yards rushing in general. Question is, in general, how concerning is the run defense, and how quickly can you shore that up, if possible, from week one moving on, Bill?
Well, there's some different things. One thing Nebraska did was they were very multiple. And so I think that was one of the reasons why it took a while for Cincinnati to settle in a little bit, because Nebraska did a lot of different things. It is hard to shore up just because of what's the change. There's no change in personnel. There is no free agent out there. There is no someone that this guy, we can bring this guy in or do that. It is what it is as far as your personnel. So you have to be able to get them better with technique, and then also just being better. Not saying they weren't at this level, but just teaching football. What's the anticipation run coming from this set? What's the anticipation of what can happen during this time? Because they will see people that will lean on them a little heavier, because they didn't lean on them very much, they being Cincinnati. Meaning that they didn't just big body and just lean on that. There was times when they just kind of abandoned the run game, which was crazy because they couldn't throw it. It had 69 yards. 20 yards at halftime. So I, like, right before half, I'm like, why are they even doing this? Just go to halftime. Go 6-3 and hope for the best in the second half. You know, for the mistake that was made, it was on a 1 yard throw. But there will be some growing pains with it. You have a chance to get better, and you have youth in those spots. So I anticipate those things happening and getting better, because they will face much more formidable run games than what they saw. They will not face much more formidable quarterback run game, because he's really good.
Yeah.
So you will not see a lot of quarterback run game that will be a lot different. But also, the thing you want to remember now, where things really change sometimes, is like, what's on film? So when you go back and watch a game, so now everybody that watched it, and I'm not taking the next two games because the rosters are so different, but what's it going to look like now that you're on film? How do you get attacked? What's going to happen? Because anything that you have that's a weakness will be that's like this. Don't think like, well, you know, we kind of struggled to get in this area, but that maybe the other team won't do that. Nope, that's not the case. So whatever is on film now, whatever your strengths were, whatever is going on like that, or your weaknesses, they are going to get attacked like no other. And so the big thing they'll try to add, which I thought Nebraska did, though, they did play population football. They played plus one in the box. It wasn't like they were always in a light box. Cincinnati, on the other hand, played a lot of light box. And it cost them until they got a few things switched up a little bit. But that's it'll be a work in progress, that's for sure. But you do have youth. Like Van Poppel's, you know, he's in year three, right? Redshirted last year.
Correct.
And so you got some people that haven't played that much. It's sometimes hard to say. I watched the game as a little bit of a fan on when Nebraska's on defense more, because I like watching offenses, because I like to see what it'd be like to defend them. When it's on the other side, when Nebraska had the ball, I really was studying their defense, Cincinnati's defense, because I thought it was very interesting on some of the concepts of what they were trying to do, because they were at a different mindset than me. But that guy's the defensive coordinator, and I'm on the radio. So that's a lot easier to that's much easier to be sitting here than it is to be there. So my respect goes to those that are in the arena much more than the guy sitting here behind the booth making comments. The other thing that stood out the most to me, Jake, was I just couldn't imagine how upset Satterfield must be of being
Scott
like
Satterfield.
Of being okay. We took the we went to Arrowhead. It might cost him his job, because if that game is played in Indianapolis, Nebraska's crowd was a ginormous effect on that game. There was false starts, the crowd noise, all the things going on, the trip down, everything about it. Yeah, you can't look at that game and not say, okay, if this was in Indy, is it the same? Because there would be 40,000 people there, 28,000 Nebraska probably, 12,000, maybe 10,000 tops from Cincinnati. That's it. Wouldn't have been sold out, wouldn't have been a great arena. The noise factor, not the same, because the noise factor factored in big time as a complete home crowd. The decibels were off the chart. So if I'm Satterfield, I'm like, this is great. We got to come here and play. But if we played this game in Indianapolis like it was scheduled to be, we probably have a, we know for sure they have a better chance of winning, and they had the ball driving to win the game at the end.
No, they did.
And so if I'm Satterfield, I'm just livid. I'm going, I go, I might have just seen my whole career go up in smoke because we had to take the money to move this game to Arrowhead.
You know, I'm always curious, Bill, and it's obviously hindsight's 20/20, but there's two separate times in the second half that Nebraska opted to go for it on fourth down. One, Nebraska led 13-3, I think it was mid-third quarter at the 42-yard line. Instead of punting it and pinning Cincinnati deep, they went for it, did not get it, gave Cincy a short field. They scored a touchdown, made it 13-10. And then, on the other side, Nebraska has a fourth and goal at the 3, up by 3 points. It was 13-10 in the fourth quarter. They go for it and get the touchdown. In general, I mean, when it comes to fourth down, it's obviously a confidence thing in your offense. But when you are coaching or watching the game, what goes to your mind when it's like a fourth and 3, number one, in the goal line situation, and also when you could punt it? Like what's going through your head, and how do you make the right decision there?
Yeah, it's a feel. A couple things are, how do you feel going into the game, and how do you feel about your play call? What do you feel about it? I know, working with great offensive coordinators that I have across the country, where I've all been around, is that the offensive coordinator never gets involved with that. The best ones I've ever heard was when the head coach would say, "What do you think? You want to go for it?" And the coordinator says, "I have a play." It's not his job to go for it. It's the head coach's job to go for it. And does he have a play? If you feel really good about it, they must have felt good about it. I felt they must have about third and was it 4-5 when they ran inside zone?
Yes.
So they set the RPO play.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game. Delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Up.
Yep.
And so I think they had what I'm thinking of that is that they being Nebraska, was like, we're going to go for this on fourth down. We're going to run inside zone. Could be a touchdown. Could be good for us. If we don't, the play call is coming directly off of this, which was odd because the slot defender just had it looked like an eye violation and didn't play well. But the chance of him for an eye violation on those plays, and especially for kind of the overhang backer, was really odd because they just run the ball for about a yard. And then it's like same play. There's no chance they're going back to back. The ball was going to be in Dylan Raiola's hands. That was going to happen on that 4th and 3. So that was a little odd that happened. But they had a play and they had a concept. So a lot of times what probably happened and what you like as an offensive coordinator is the head coach tells you, hey, it's 4 downs. Meaning now, if on the one where Emmett ran the ball, if there had been a TFL and it went to 4th and 5 or something, that would be like, hey, check, check, check. We're going to kick this. But you knew going into, I guarantee you, Holgorsen knew, hey, we have 2 downs, so I'm going to run this play, which sets up this play. And also, the play they ran is also a good play.
Yep.
It could have been a touchdown. It wasn't like they were running some buffoonery play at all. But sometimes, for myself, if I'm in that game, I'd be more in the air of maybe more air on punting it, because it wasn't like, I mean, they weren't moving the ball. It wasn't like that. Eventually they did. Nebraska got worn down, and Cincinnati did move the ball on them pretty extensively in this. But at that point in time, like that, when they went for it, I think it was 13-3, right?
It was 13-10. At which point?
When he went for it and didn't get it, and yes, then they went down
yep.
and scored.
Yes, yep. It was 13-3 at that point.
So at 13-3, I'm like, hey, let's pin them. Let's pin them. We're playing lights out on defense. And that'd be my thought at that time. And a lot of times you go back over those things in your head, like, okay, what do you want to do? Or you have a certain feel for it.
Text from Bob in Martell, 402-464-5685. He says, the game last night did nothing to raise or lower the perception of Husker football, but it will help us sneak up on Michigan, and we have two practice games, the lower games, Akron and Houston Christian, to iron out some bugs. Cincinnati was simply a survival game, and Nebraska survived. Nebraska fans should be pleased with how being 1-0. I like that. To me, that wasn't a survival game. Obviously, you want to go out there and win by 21, have a great a great game, and blow them out. But we point out on the show this week, Bill, I mean, that Nebraska has had issues against Power 4 teams starting off the year. And since he's not a great team, they're probably middle of the pack at best in the Big 12 or lower. But that's a Power 4 team. It's not just a gimme to go beat a team like that. And that's why I think Nebraska fans, even though they're not thrilled with the way sometimes things went last night, they understand, take that win and run, no apologies at all.
Yeah, you would. In my opinion, for everyone, this is everyone, is like strength of schedule doesn't come into play until the end.
100%.
So you look back and just say, you might like I said, you might say on the positive side, this Power 4, what if they go 2-10? You're going like, okay, that was not a great win. It was not. What if they go 9-3? Yes, like that. Right now, so all the stuff we talk about, like we talked about Wisconsin schedule, that's a logo schedule. It's a complete logo schedule. Now they return a lot of people, so a lot of things are based off of logo. And last year Arizona State, same thing. That was a loss. That was a guarantee that Arizona State was going to lose, and everything was different. So the schedule part I don't get into until the end. Until what does Cincinnati look like when they play? When they get into these Big 12 games. So in the end, it's going to be like, okay, what kind of win was it? Well, you don't know that until literally three quarters through the season. What type of win was it to have a feel? But always winning is hard.
Yeah.
So winning is hard, and like you said, they don't have that part of it. I said if you looked at it and you'd say, okay, what was the part that that would be like, okay, what was interesting? And be like, well, Sip brought up and which was brought up by the head coach, right? That we have false starts in the red zone with the left tackle, and there's a false start in the red zone at the left tackle. And so those type of things, and it's very well noted that he's a very highly paid player. Now, highly paid players make mistakes, so I'm not pointing at that. But Troy Dannon said we need a return on our investment. We need a return on our investments when they come in. So I'm sure that those are always things that's where things are looked at differently now. Where before is just recruiting, now there's a different element to it. There's a way different element to it with how things are viewed. When that goes down, the reason I bring it up is because Nebraska's because you could front load your roster this year, and so Nebraska's 1890 and the ability that they had was like tenfold of what Cincinnati had, and so that's an interesting take when you sit and look at it.
We put a face to the name on Wednesday for Beef Tacos, Bill.
That was incredible.
Well, he's chimed in again.
The taco.
Beef Taco says sorry. I'm not that pleased. I'll take the win for sure. I don't see how we stand up against run-heavy Big Ten teams. Our personnel is small on the defensive line, and that's something we cannot fix. You just said, Bill. Call me a wet blanket, but I'm feeling pretty pessimistic. Beef Tacos chimes in.
Well, what he's saying is somewhat, it's hard to, okay, what can we do different scheme-wise? Because Nebraska did, they were aggressive. They did a lot of different things throughout the game. They had different looks. They had a lot of things going on, which was causing some problems. And a lot of times that's what you look at and you say, okay, now it's on film. Now we've seen it. A lot of that stuff that happened, I'm sure that Cincinnati really hadn't seen very much of it. And all of a sudden for the offensive line, that is very hard. I wondered really hard, it's like, did Cincinnati, how hard did they work on? Did they really know how loud it was going to be? I wondered that.
I don't know.
I said like that because it was, I mean, they had some critical errors with that. There was one time also I said that there was one time their wide receiver lined up 4 yards offsides. He was 4 yards beyond the ball. And finally, he kind of looked over, like the ref is kind of looking, like going, whoa.
Come on, man.
And they kind of struggled getting lined up. So the receiver group of being all new, they were not dialed in at the high level. But I understand what Beef Taco is saying, is that it is hard to all of a sudden be like, okay, this will be hard. How are we going to shore this? What are we going to do? How are we going to get this better? But you still have youth, and so you have a chance to still develop them beyond that. And so then obviously the critical part is going to be how well does the offense able to play to keep them off the field? Because that game was, like I said, they went back-to-back commercials because the game was just flowing by. Both teams were just – I mean, it was – I'm really looking at my watch going, I'm not too worried here. I'm going to be in bed by like 10:45.
We'll be okay here.
I'm going to be all right. And then it just hit a – you know, and there wasn't many injuries, wasn't many things of that nature, but because teams were huddling, there was balls being run, and then also it kind of hit the brakes. But, you know, the number of plays, what was the total number of plays, Rudy? Can you look that up?
I got that right.
What did Cincinnati have and what Nebraska have for total reps?
Let's see.
It's usually on the top of the sheet there. But it won't be high. It won't be high. It won't be. They're probably both in the 60s, I'm going to guess.
I don't see. I know Nebraska. Oh, so Nebraska had 78 plays. Since they had 55.
Yeah, so 55 plays.
55.
Yeah, so that's not a lot of plays to defend. That's you know, if you're in that area of 55, 78 starting to get up there. But if you're, like I said, defensively, if you defend 62 to 72, pretty normal. 62, you're going, oh man, that's pretty awesome. And you're in the 50s, number of plays you had to defend. That's good. That if they all of a sudden get in a spot where they have to defend 70 something plays, because I believe, and you could tell just from the numbers, they got wore down. The ball was being moved in the second half, and so they got wore down a little bit. So they have to get into those high numbers. So offense, I thought also Nebraska did a nice job of, like, they kept drives alive. They were good on third down, and then also they huddled. There was clock, and so very, very well-managed game by Nebraska.
On that note, Bill, Nebraska had 39 minutes and 30 seconds of possession. Yeah. So, I mean, two-thirds of the game they had the ball. And then and you look at, you mentioned third down, 10 of 18 on third downs.
Very good.
1 for 2 on fourth downs. We mentioned that already in terms of that. I mean, so good stats. Like I said, they kept the ball. The clock kept ticking. They got some good third downs. So you got to be – if you're freaking out about some things, you have to be okay with that part of it. That was – they kept the ball.
Oh, absolutely. That, and then also, it's a classic example of you have a game like that, and you can coach your kids really hard because you won. So you don't have to build them back up like we're not any good. They won the game, so you can coach them really hard. You know, the old school of we get the most improvement between one first week and second week is somewhat true. I kind of wish they were playing somebody that you would see something. Akron didn't score against Wyoming.
They lost 10-0 at home.
10-0. So this game is probably going to be a 64-3 game, and so you don't get much out of that. Then the next game's even worse.
And so
that would be a concern of mine, because I'd want to sharpen my skills a little bit. So if you're going to have to do some form of good on good in practice, if you don't, and your next prep is going against Akron and Houston Christian, and then the game four is Michigan, you'll be like, well, what just happened? And so you wish there was somebody in between there a little bit to say, hey, listen, we really got to be able to get some good work here, because you're going to get functionality room, which means how efficient can we be as far as every phase of the game in these next two games. But they're going to be favored by, you know, in the mid-30s to 40 points the next couple games, you know, like that. And then, like I said, and I feel kind of bad for the fans, because the fans are going to be there, and it's going to be, like I said, they'll be sold out. It'll be nuts. But that's hard to be like, going, you guys going to the Akron game? It's kind of like, well, they didn't score last week. And then we got Houston Christian after that. Now the Michigan one is going to be awesome. Yep. So that was fun for the fans to be able to get down there. But if I'm Satterfield, I'm flying home going, this game is completely different. Or if we scoop and score, they're taking the lead at halftime. They're going in at halftime, and the game is completely different. I mean, the ball hit him right in the hands. They also had balls hit him. They had one receiver, ball hit him in the end zone. It was like that Hartsog knocked it away. He didn't. Ball hit him right in the chest.
Dropped. Yeah, they had some.
Hit him right in the chest. And just, I mean, they looked, their running back wide open in the flat, dropped the ball. So a lot of good things happened for that way. But that also becomes because you play hard and good things happen for you. But again, winning's hard. It's a great win for, like I said, I just believe the narrative across the board is probably great win. WWW, a lot left on the bone.
Yeah, Bill, that fumble, I was watching the replay in the stands because I could not believe he got back on top of it. And I watched the replay further. It confirmed I cannot believe he got that ball back because, like you said, there's two guys there that could have picked it up and ran, and it somehow
and there's no
Dylan
one there.
Gets it back.
And there's no one there.
Like just, yeah, the there's just no one to take. Yeah, that guy's gone easily.
And I'm just like, oh, wow. I mean, those are the ones right there. And you talk about that's how the difference on coaches keeping their jobs. That's how nuts this profession is.
Yeah.
The craziness, you go back and watch certain plays and you go, how did that happen? And you're going like, hey, just FYI, that flipped our whole season because of that one play or two plays. Did that end the game? No. But you tell me going in at halftime behind, what's the energy in that stadium? It's different.
Not, yeah,
or
not
and I don't believe they – did they still score on the drop pick six? Because it was a fourth down play, and it was very odd because we were watching the play, like I said, on film. So I'm watching them on defense, and I go, they got a layup throw to their slot, and that's where Raiola went to look for the ball, and he didn't throw it, and I thought he had the throw because it was off coverage. There was an open window to make that throw, and it looked like he could have made that throw for an easy first down. Then he flipped back to the other side, and then that's where things went wrong. I'm not sure, but for some reason, I don't think they scored on that drive.
I don't know for sure, Bill.
That's how lives change.
Yep,
that's how lives change in this profession. One or two different plays, and everything is completely different. Or if they, like you said, with that happening, or if they just say we're going to go in at halftime, we're going in 6-3. They would have. They had the first down like that because I remember when they punted the ball.
That's fine. 6-3 down.
I go, if they get a first down here, I go, they can just run the clock out. And they got the first down. And it was I think if they would have challenged it, I'm a little surprised that Coach Rhule didn't challenge it because I don't think he got the first. And it was a third. It would have been fourth down. Hmm. And they would have had to punt, which obviously would have been better than the fumble that they had forced. But there are just so many little things, which is why the game is – so fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Before we get to break, Bill, I assume in Lincoln, if people have their Halo custom lights, they'd probably be red and white to celebrate Nebraska.
I would sure think so, Jake.
They should. What did you have last night? Were you going to Mardi Gras again?
No. We keep things very – we got to take sugar out.
Okay.
So it's kind of the low glow, kind of the dim-lit lights. It's kind of a cream-colored lights that we had on last night. Also, me and Rudy have noticed – there's no one going to class, so there might have been an announcement, but there's nobody. We've seen one student, right, Rudy? We're looking out there right now. There's absolutely nobody. Usually we see hundreds of people going to class.
It's a quiet day.
There's no one going to class today.
Okay,
there's
one now, but
we've
got maybe two now. All right.
Yeah, just two.
So maybe they were listening to the show, and they thought it was real. That there was no classes today. I'm not sure.
We have that effect sometimes, Bill. We have some power like that. Hopefully people feel that. Halo Custom Lighting, also Neiman & Sons. Check those out.
Get a hold of Josh McGuire's, the one you want to reach out to. Josh McGuire's a spirit animal himself.
Yes.
Good friend of mine. You saw him at the wedding, Jake. He was dancing, and he's going to dance around your yard and show you how to get these lights is what he's going to do. And he'll dance for you. Josh McGuire.
He will. When we come back, it's our first edition of the year of SP's Field Storming Possibilities next on Early Break on the Ticket.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.